Good morning, Faith Bible Church. So good to see all of you. You say, how does that work? Well, I see you up here. Thank you for coming to Ramey, Pennsylvania this morning, Servant's Heart Camp, Cabin 6. It's good to have you here, and I am excited to share the Word of God with you all this morning. Please take your Bibles and turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, we'll be looking at verses 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I'd like to start off our time here with a word of prayer together. Dear Lord, thank you for this opportunity to preach. Thank you for the truths from your word that you want to challenge us all with today. I ask that you would help me as I deliver this, that it would be clear, that it would be exactly what you want me to say, and that these people who are watching would take your truths and do with it what you want them to do. Thank you for the power of your word, and I ask that you would use it now. In Jesus' name, amen. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says there, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." This morning I would like to preach a message to you entitled, "Where Are You Going During COVID-19? Where are you going during COVID-19? Stay-at-home orders may be necessary at times to limit our social interactions, but it is impossible to lock down spiritually and pause your relationship with God. Your relationship with God is always going somewhere. You are either living in a way that is drawing you closer to God, or you are living in a way that is causing you to drift further away from Him. You see, we cannot simply drop an anchor of determination and weather out this kind of a storm. We can't do that. Why? Because our strength is not that strong. It's not going to last. We will fail every single time if we depend upon ourselves. God's regular allowance of trials and physical temptations into our lives exposes the volatile nature and the volatile reality of our souls. And it goes on to then highlight our continual need to live in a way fully dependent upon Him for everything. You see, friends, there is only one answer for surviving the spiritual storms during this COVID-19 global pandemic, or for that matter, any other time as well. There is only one answer, and that answer is Jesus. And so today, you and I must recognize our natural tendency to drift spiritually when normal life is put on hold. And you and I must make a conscious effort by the grace of God to fight against that drifting. And so as we look at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, I want us to see four tests from the Bible to help you and I realize where we are going during COVID-19. Where are you going? Are you going closer to God during these days or further away? Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Verse 1 starts off with referring back to the previous chapter with that word, wherefore. And it references this great cloud of witnesses. Let's think about that cloud of witnesses here in just a moment. But we're talking about where are we going? Think about this. When you are navigating on the ocean, which I never have done, but I understand that when you are navigating on the ocean, if you don't have technology or the stars, It is very difficult for you to know where you are and where you're going and how fast and whether or not you are drifting. It's very important that you have some reference point or you won't be able to tell. Thankfully, we use technology and they use the stars for many years to have that reference point. But if you don't have those, then you have to use something else. And it may be a lighthouse. It may be an island. It may be some other object, but you have to have a reference point or you will not be able to evaluate your position. God's word here references the great cloud of witnesses. And I want you to see that God has given us this great cloud of witnesses as a reference point to help us monitor one way that where we're going during COVID-19. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Number one, I want to ask you this question. Are you trusting God like the great cloud of witnesses did? Are you trusting God like the great cloud of witnesses? They are a spiritual reference point given to us in the Word of God as examples, faithful men and women who lived their lives for the glory of God in many, many ways. They are a reference point for you and I today. And they witness to us. They witness to us through that godly example and those past victories. Take your Bible and flip over to Hebrews chapter 11 just for a moment, and we will see the famous Hebrews chapter 11 Hall of Faith, where we have men like Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Moses and Gideon and so many more. Women even mentioned here, Sarah and Rahab mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, men and women who did great things for God and did it by faith. We see here in chapter 11, verses 4 through 31, many of those names mentioned who I just mentioned. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, in just those verses. And then later in verses 32 through 38, the Bible says there, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens." And it continues on, speaking of the great things that these men of old, women of old, did for the glory of God. They are this great cloud of witnesses. They and also many others who are unknown to us who lived for the glory of God. They are witnesses. They witness to us of the power of God and the victories that can be had through faith. And so they witness to us. But as we think about this great cloud of witnesses, we would often think, and rightly so, based on the illustration in Hebrews chapter 12, our passage of verses 1 and 2, we would think that they are watching us. And I would ask that question, can the great cloud of witnesses see what we are doing on this earth? Can they? Well, let me tell you this. The commentators seem to think that they can't necessarily see us. However, I like to think that they do. In the illustration in Hebrews chapter 12 of that marathon race definitely lends to that, where you are running as a Christian in this life. You are running in this long marathon, and surrounded all around is the great cloud of witnesses. In the grandstands, they're cheering us on and they're watching. So there in the race, definitely the witnesses are watching the runners. I can't prove it from the Bible that they can see us here on this earth, but I like to think that they can. What we do know is that they know something of what is happening here. For instance, Luke chapter 15, verse 7, it says, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. And so heaven knows. These great men and women of old at least have some knowledge of when something that's happening here, and specifically when someone gets saved. So they are aware of some things at any rate. But I don't know if they are actually watching us. I like to think that they do. Nevertheless, these witnesses are God-given witnesses to us. They are a challenge to us. They are an example to us of their lives that they lived. As we take their examples and compare it to our lives today, how do we add up? Where are we going? Are we going on a path that they pioneered, or are we drifting from where God wants us to be? And so I ask you, these people who live by faith, are you living by faith? Are you trusting God like this great cloud of witnesses? How do you compare to these faithful men and women? Think of Abel. If you want to follow along in Hebrews chapter 11 and skim over it, as I mentioned some of these, you're welcome to. I won't necessarily give the verses, but Abel is mentioned first in verse 4. And Abel was a man who carefully followed God's will, and the Bible says he offered an excellent sacrifice. Enoch continually pleased God through his testimony of unbending faith. The next verse, in verse 6, it says it's impossible to please God without faith. And Enoch had that. He pleased God. Noah, by faith in God's word and fear of God's judgment, rose above the peer pressure of his day, and he carefully followed God's instructions as he built the ark. Abraham obeyed God's call to go to an unknown land and was willing to surrender even his most valuable possessions to God. Joseph, he was all alone in strange land. He overcame great temptation there when no one he knew but God was watching. He completely forgave unimaginable crimes against him and believed that God would deliver his people. You see, these are men who lived by faith. They were trusting God, and they are challenged to you and I today. How do you compare to those great men and women in the Bible? If you don't add up very well today, then I ask you, where are you going during COVID-19? Have you been drawing closer to God during these times, or are you drifting away? The Bible says in Psalm 25, verses 1 through 2, "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul, O my God. I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me." Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25, "The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." Psalm 26, verse 1, "Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide." Are you sliding? Are you drifting? As you compare your life to the lives of these great men and women of old, this great cloud of witnesses, have you been drifting from a life of faith? So number one, we see, are you trusting God like the great cloud of witnesses? Number two, another test to see where you are going during COVID-19, during these uncertain times and times of normal life being put on pause. Number two, are you laying aside weights and sins that easily beset? Again, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. It says real simply there, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us." Now, in a marathon, or really for any athlete participating in some kind of race or sport, Your diet is very important, I understand. That can make the difference in whether or not you win or lose. And friends, can I remind you that your spiritual diet is vitally important? It should be conducive to winning the marathon for the glory of God. Sins that easily beset you must be identified in your life during these days and strategically avoided. And what's the answer to all that? How do you win this race? Well, Jesus is the answer. Now it says here, lay aside every weight. Friends, do you understand that not all good things are good for you right now? Not all good things are good for you right now? Are there maybe some things in your life during these days where life is not normal? Some things that are not necessarily wrong, but God does not want you doing them. They're weights. Are you dieting on what is God's best for your life or something that doesn't have much value? Not all good things are good for you right now. For example, apple pie. I like apple pie. I like lots of kinds of pies. But let's take apple pie for instance. It wouldn't be too negative, I don't think, or negative at all. Careful on the sugar, but it wouldn't be too bad for me to eat a nice size, a huge slice of apple pie. But for some of you, eating that same slice of apple pie could be fatal. Apple pie is a good thing. Some of you might debate that, who would stay away from all sugar, but I will say apple pie is a good thing. It may be a good thing, but it might not be a good thing for you. And it might not be a good thing for you right now in your life. You see, not all good things are good for you right now. And it may be that during these days of COVID-19 that you've allowed even a good thing, something that's not necessarily wrong, to become a priority in your life that God would not be pleased with. Think of the story of Bartimaeus in the Bible. You can turn over to Mark chapter 10 if you want, and you can read a few verses there, four verses I believe it is, about blind Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus exemplifies this for us in a simple way, how not all good things are good for you at every point in life. You see, Bartimaeus was desperate to get to Jesus. He was blind. He had this ailment. He needed it to be fixed, and he knew Jesus was the answer. And he was so desperate to get to Jesus that nothing would impede him. He was going to get to Jesus. His own problems was not going to stop him. His own possessions, they weren't going to stop him. And the peer pressure around him, that was not going to stop him. In Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 50, the Bible says, "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples," of course this is speaking of Jesus and his disciples, "and a great number of people," the Bible says there, "blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more, a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man and said unto him, 'Be of good comfort, arise, he calleth thee.'" And then the Bible says this, "And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus." You see, he had on this heavy coat. I don't know what it looked like, but the Bible says how he, when it was time for him to go, when he realized Jesus was wanting him, he put that garment off. Now, I don't think that he rose up and ran to Jesus. I think he probably maybe needed some help or something. People had to get out of his way in different things. But he took that coat off, recognizing that this possession of mine, this thing that is good, clothing is good, you know what? It's going to keep me right now from doing what I need to do. getting to the solution, getting to Jesus. And so I'm taking even this good thing and I am laying it aside so that I can get to Jesus. Friends, not all good things in our lives are good for us at all times. And I wonder if maybe there's something you've allowed in these days that's not necessarily wrong, but you've allowed it to become a priority that is not pleasing to God. Would you just search yourself today and lay aside weights? But the Bible also says, lay aside the sin which doth so easily beset us. Sins that easily beset you must be identified today and avoided. What temptation is your greatest struggle? Beset means to easily stand around. So the idea is here that these sins are easily standing around you. It's not hard for them to get close to you. They are surrounding you. What sin seems to be always lurking around the corner during a time of your weak faith? I remember back in my college, Bible college days, and something I learned during Bible college days was for a Bible college student, fall break, Christmas break, spring break, whatever break you have, those times of a different schedule, those times of relaxation could be times of great spiritual temptation. After months of intense Bible saturation, there can be enormous temptation during those breaks to relax spiritually when the schedule relaxes. And friends, it's not just for Bible college students. COVID-19 has relaxed all of our schedules to some degree. And so I want to challenge you, be careful. Watch out for those besetting sins. Watch out for the temptations that the devil has been placing around you and I during this time. He knows your weaknesses, and he is set on destroying you. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 23 through 27, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. James chapter 1, verses 21. Just verse 21. Wherefore, it says, lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness, humility, the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. You see, during a time of maybe unnormal relaxation, this may be a time where your life has kind of been put upside down during COVID-19. Maybe this would be a good time to read. Maybe this would be a good time to dive into the Word of God. Maybe this would be a good time for you to put into your life the good things that God does want to be a priority. Number two, are you laying aside the weights and sins that easily beset? But number three, I want you to notice now a third test to help us see where we're going during COVID-19. Number three, back to our passage in Hebrews chapter 12. Number three, are you being patient with God's plan? Are you being patient with God's plan for your life? Verse 1 there, it says, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, marathons are not quickly won. Very difficult times rarely will go away overnight. Patience is a critical part of the Christian runner's character. God has a perfect plan for your life. He has a perfect plan for the entire world. And he will complete his perfect plan in his perfect time. Now, patience means persevering endurance. It just keeps going and going. It's like you just keep on trusting God. And you wait on Him to accomplish His objectives. Now, understand this. Waiting on God and having patience does not mean inactivity. It does not mean you're just sitting around and doing nothing. Waiting on God and having patience, it means this: doing the right thing at the right time. Okay? You're having patience, you're having self-control, you're being careful to endure and to do it in a way that is right and pleasing to God. In a marathon, the runners certainly are not inactive. Boy, they're going. They're making things happen. And they are very busy, carefully using their energy at the right times. And so you must be patient, my friend, during this COVID-19 pandemic. And not just sitting around doing nothing, but you and I must be busy following in what we know is God's will for our lives, what His plan is for us today. And so patience, but yet being busy while we're waiting on God to do the work. You see, having patience and being busy following God's plan, that's a perfect balance. You're not going to mess up there, because there is that self-control, there is that temperance, and it's a biblical approach during these days. Let me make this application. For the Christian, now is not the time to grab your guns and start marching on the Capitol, okay? Yes, I think it's time to open back up the country, get the economy going again. I would be a strong proponent of that at this point. But now is not the time to grab your gun and go make something happen, okay? We need to have patience. We as Christians need to demonstrate an active patience and to do it for the glory of God. You know, we need to do that not only during COVID-19, but at any time. We need to do that in every season of life. And so I want to ask you, during these days, are you busy following God's will for your life right now? Are you doing what you know before a holy God is right? And are you carefully navigating these uncertain times with patience and with grace? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36, it says, "For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise." 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 and 25, it says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we that incorruptible crown." You see, we must be a temperate people, a self-controlled, under control, the Spirit of God's control. That kind of a people. And we must remember that there is a prize waiting on the other side of all of this. You had better do the will of God now, or you will not be receiving that prize. Are you patient with God's plan for your life, friend? But number four, finally, I want us to see in this passage, are you looking to Jesus? Are you looking to Jesus? You see, Jesus is the ultimate answer. During COVID-19 or at any other time, only Jesus can heal the soul's diseases. Are you looking to Him? Or let me ask you this, friend. Are you looking somewhere else? Are you looking to the government? Are you looking to friends and neighbors? There's other good places to look, but none of those places compare to Jesus. And there's certainly some places that you could be looking, friend, that are not good places to look and could be fatal to your future. Where are you looking? Are you looking unto Jesus? You must turn your eyes to Jesus today in dependence upon His deliverance in these times. Let me ask you this. I don't know who may be watching. I suspect that it's a lot of friends of mine and it's a lot of people at Faith Bible Church. But I hope that there's maybe one or two that are watching today who may not know the truth of the gospel and have yet to learn it and make it their own. Let me ask you, friend, do you know for sure that your sins are forgiven before a holy God? Have you ever made the choice to look to Jesus and accept Him as your personal Savior and the only way to heaven? Have you ever made that choice? It's time for you to look to Jesus if you never have. And then for Christians, my friends and folks at Faith Bible Church, are you living in defeat? Are you struggling with besetting sins? Then it's time for you to look to Jesus once again. You see, Jesus is the ultimate answer. It's only through His strength, His deliverance, that victory can be had. But if you're here today and you're looking at the Bible and you're looking at your future and you're wondering, where might I go when I die? Then I want to challenge you for the first time, would you look to Jesus and would you accept Him as your Savior? The Bible makes it clear to us that we're all sinners. And the Bible makes it clear in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, that the wages of those sins is death. And so the thing that we earn for being sinners, for doing things that are wrong against a holy God, the thing that we earn, the wages, is death. That's separation from God for all of eternity. The Bible teaches us that hell is a real place, and it was made for the devil and his angels, but sinners are condemned to that terrible place because of their sin. Because God is holy. But the Bible says in that verse that the wages of sin, it's death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so God, Jesus Christ our Lord, is offering you a gift of eternal life. He's holding this out to you, saying, I want to give you this forgiveness, this gift, eternal life with me in heaven. Would you take it? And I want you to understand today that Jesus did everything that needed to be done to pay for your sin debt. It's all been taken care of. He took your punishment for you. And all you have to do, friend, is look to Jesus. Would you turn your eyes to Him today? He is the author and finisher of the faith that we read of in the Bible, of the gospel. He is the one who created this whole plan that He would die for you and that you could simply look to Him for that deliverance. Now, what does it mean to look to Jesus? What I mean is placing your faith in Him alone. There's many people in this world who are trusting in other things. They're trying to look somewhere else, and they won't find the answer anywhere except in Jesus. And so they are trusting in other things. And I challenge you today, friend, maybe you've never done this before, would you trust in Jesus alone for that forgiveness? He is the only answer. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that could be you today. Do you know Him? Have you ever made that choice to look to Him? If we were to take our Bibles and turn over to Numbers chapter 21, we would read a very interesting story about a time when God's people, Israel, were in the wilderness, and they began to complain. They didn't have what they wanted to eat. They didn't have what they needed to drink. And they were in a desperate time, and they were complaining about it. And the Bible says, because of their sin of complaining, God allowed fiery serpents to go in amongst them. And whenever someone was bitten by these fiery serpents, it would be fatal. And so the people came to Moses and they cried out to him and said, we need deliverance from this. And God spoke to Moses and gave him the instructions to make a brazen bronze serpent, a statue, and to put it up on a pole. And Moses did that. And God said that whenever the people of Israel would look to that serpent on the pole, if they were to turn their eyes to it in faith, believing that God would heal them, they would be healed and they would live. And the Bible then went on to say in John chapter 3, in a place where Jesus was explaining all of these things to a man called Nicodemus, the Bible says there, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. And that could be you today. Have you ever looked to Jesus? Have you ever trusted in him as your personal Savior for the forgiveness of your sins so that you would not perish? Jesus is the only way. And I invite you to call upon him today. But for Christians who are maybe struggling with a besetting sin, maybe struggling with weights in this marathon that we're all running in, would you understand that Jesus got that deliverance for you as well? He gained the victory for you. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, who his own self bare our sins upon in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. I love Philippians 4, 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And for your besetting sin, for that struggle and that temptation, God's strength is available to you. The same strength that he had within himself to raise himself back from the dead after he died on the cross is the same power that is available to you and I to live in victory in this Christian life. Would you look to Jesus? Would you, by faith, depend upon his strength and not your own for the victory during these COVID-19 days? Are you looking to Jesus, friend? So as we close today, I want to ask you, have you been passing the spiritual tests of this COVID-19 pandemic? Or have you been struggling with failure? Much of life has been put on hold right now, but God wants to draw you closer to him through all of this. Are you doing that? Where are you going during COVID-19? Have you been finding God? Or have you been drifting away? I would ask you to maybe bow your head, close your eyes right now. And I just want to finish with a few questions to help you process the truths you've heard from God's Word this morning. And I want to ask for you Christians, I want to ask first of all, have you been careful to lay aside the weights during these times? Have you been careful to put them away, or have you been taking on weights during this pandemic? During this time of maybe some relaxation where life isn't quite normal, have you been taking on weight? I want to ask also, have you been falling into a besetting sin? Dear Christian, Jesus Christ delivered you from these things. You are not a slave to those temptations. The power is available to you for the victory. Are you falling, though, to a besetting sin? It's time to confess. It's time to get back to where God wants you to be and start going toward him, closer to him. Dear Christians, have you been patient with God's plan in your life right now? And have you been looking unto Him for the deliverance? And then finally, I want to challenge maybe someone who is listening, watching this video, who does not know Jesus as their personal Savior. Dear friend, God loves you. He loves you even though you're a sinner and you've broken His law. He loved you so much to take your punishment in your place. And I want to ask, do you know for sure that your sins are forgiven before Almighty God this morning? Do you know that for sure? If you don't know that for sure, then I invite you, would you look to Jesus? And I invite you to contact us at Faith Bible Church. You're welcome to call the office. Send us an email if you have questions about your eternal destiny. And I want to even go so far to say that my phone number is available. 717-991-1426. I would love to take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure that your sins are forgiven before a holy God. We want to help you look to Jesus. And so, friends, as we close this morning service, would you evaluate? Would you do some monitoring today during these unnatural times? Where are you going during COVID-19?